Hello, everyone. You are listening to Have I Got a Story for You with your host, DJ Daniel Mon on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And have I got a story for you today? Today, I'm taking a look back on A Quiet Place, a 2018 American post-apocalyptic science fiction horror film. Yes, I just said all those words in that amount of time. Directed by and starring John Krasinski. The film sees a family, primarily a father and a mother, who struggle to survive and raise their children in a post-apocalyptic world inhabited by blind extraterrestrial monsters with an acute sense of hearing. In other words, if you make a sound in this film, then you're dead. This is a film that I've chosen to talk about today because it is, in my eyes, more than just a simple horror film or gimmick film. It is what I like to call a movie with a heart. And it is a film that should be very much looked at in terms of all aspects of its production, from the creepy atmosphere to its direction and acting performances, as well as its overall sound design. I would probably describe this as a pretty smart and frighteningly good time for those of you who are looking for a new horror movie that may carry some extra substance to its story for this upcoming Halloween. And as with previous episodes of the show, we will be discussing the plot summaries, production background, character arcs, production techniques, and overall what aspiring storytellers and writers can learn from this film. So for those of you who have not seen this film and would like to, without any spoilers, please tune out now. So I'd like to first start off by giving a brief plot recap of the overall story of A Quiet Place, and then get into the production techniques and background, as well as character arcs, and what aspiring storytellers can learn. Now, the film begins with a sort of introduction to what this world has been through. Throughout the year 2020, most of Earth's human and animal populations have been annihilated by sightless extraterrestrial creatures. The creatures, which attack anything that makes noise, have hypersensitive hearing and are covered in armor, which is invulnerable to bullets and explosives. The Abbott family, wife Evelyn, husband Lee, deaf daughter Reagan, and sons Marcus and Beau, silently scavenge for supplies in a deserted town. Going barefoot while out in the open, the family communicates in American Sign Language. 4-year-old Beau is drawn to a battery-powered space shuttle toy, but Lee takes it away due to the noise it would make. Reagan returns the toy to Beau, who also takes the batteries that his father removed from it. Beau then activates the toy when the family is walking home while crossing a bridge, giving away his location to a nearby creature that eventually kills him before Lee can save him. The film then jumps forward about a year, with Reagan struggling over the guilt of her brother's death, Evelyn entering the final stages of her pregnancy, and Lee fruitlessly trying to make radio contact with the rest of the outside world. Lee attempts to upgrade Reagan's cochlear implant with scavenged miniature amplifiers to restore her hearing, but the devices are ineffective. Later, Lee takes Marcus to a nearby river with a large waterfall to teach him how to fish. While Reagan abandons her mother to visit Beau's memorial, Lee explains to Marcus that they are safe from the creatures in the presence of louder and constant sounds, as the sounds mask over their voices and do not attract the creatures. Marcus then reveals that Reagan blames herself for Beau's death and needs her father to tell her he still loves her. Alone at the house, Evelyn goes into labor. While making her way to their basement, she accidentally steps on an exposed nail with her right foot. In pain, Evelyn accidentally drops a glass picture frame and alerts a nearby creature. Evelyn then flips a switch that changes the exterior house lights to red as a danger signal to the others and struggles to remain silent during her continuing contractions. Arriving at the farm and seeing the lights, Lee instructs Marcus to set off fireworks as a diversion. Arriving at the house, Lee finds Evelyn hiding in the bathroom with her newborn son and, along with Evelyn, makes his way to their improvised soundproofed basement. Lee leaves to find the other children, promising Evelyn he will protect them. Evelyn then falls asleep, but soon wakes to discover that the barn basement is flooded with water from a broken pipe and that a creature has found its way inside the basement hideaway. Reagan, hurrying back to the farm, takes refuge atop a grain silo with Marcus, lighting a fire to alert their father of their whereabouts. However, they run out of lighter fluid and the fire dies before they can attract Lee's attention. A hatch door then suddenly gives way and Marcus falls into the grain silo. The sound of the door falling distracts the creature that was stalking Evelyn and it targets Marcus and Reagan. Reagan, who has jumped in after Marcus, sinks into the corn and nearly suffocates, but Marcus saves her. Reagan's cochlear implant reacts to the proximity of the creature by emitting a high-frequency sound that drives it away. The children proceed to then escape from the silo and reunite with their father. The creature returns, attacking and wounding Lee, while Marcus and Reagan hide in a pickup truck and witness the entire ordeal. After seeing his father wounded, Marcus shouts impulsively, attracting the creature back to the truck. Lee signs to Reagan that he loves her and always has, before yelling to draw the creature away from his children. The creature, hearing Lee's voice, attacks and kills him. Reagan and Marcus roll the truck down a hill to escape and reunite with Evelyn and the baby at the farmhouse. The four retreat to the house's basement. When the creature returns, Reagan, who realizes that the sound made by the implant distresses the creature, switches the device back on and places it on a nearby microphone, amplifying the feedback. Painfully disoriented, the creature exposes the flesh beneath its armored head, allowing Evelyn to fatally shoot it with a shotgun. The family views a CCTV monitor showing two creatures attracted by the noise of the shotgun blast approaching the house. With their newly acquired knowledge of the creature's weakness, the members of the family arm themselves and prepare to fight back. Now, I've just described the entire plot of A Quiet Place. And before we move on to our next segment, talking about the production background and history behind the making of this film, I'd like to talk a little bit more about any confusion regarding A Quiet Place's upcoming sequel, A Quiet Place Part 2, and when the timeline of that film takes place. Now, for those of you who have seen this film, A Quiet Place, and are looking forward to its sequel, and have seen most of its trailers, yes, the dad is shown to be alive. But what most people don't really know is that A Quiet Place Part 2 takes place both before and after A Quiet Place Part 1, which is the film I've just described. A Quiet Place Part 2 utilizes the flashback method to show more of what happened before the events of A Quiet Place Part 1, to show exactly how the entire invasion of these extraterrestrial, sightless, scary monsters. And it definitely shows in the trailers how exactly these family members will come into contact with these creatures as well. And it also shows exactly where this film may have left off. But yeah, for those of you who are excited for A Quiet Place Part 2, unfortunately, due to everything that is going on right now, there is going to be much delays regarding its release. And it is apparently for sure now pushed back to the year of 2021. So despite all of that, I'm still looking very much forward to the film itself. Especially the fact that every single cast member, as well as craftsman of A Quiet Place, is coming back to do the second. You have been listening to Have I Got a Story for You with your host, DJ Denouement on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. Carbon emissions represent man's greatest controllable contribution to global warming. If you like to breathe crisp, healthful air, think about this. For every mile driven, 1 pound of carbon particulate matter is released into our atmosphere. Before you jump into your car, next time, ask yourself if you can make the trip on your bike instead. and keep it clean.
Hello, everyone. We are back on Have I Got a Story for You with your host, DJ Dana Mon on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Today, we have been taking a look back on the 2018 American post-apocalyptic science fiction horror film, A Quiet Place. A Quiet Place was directed by and starring John Krasinski in his first major directorial debut. The film itself stars Emily Blunt as Evelyn Abbott, the wife of Lee and the mother to their four children, Reagan, Marcus, Beau, and baby Abbott. Krasinski actually described Emily Blunt's character of Evelyn Abbott as wanting to ensure that their children be fully formed and fully thinking people. While John Krasinski starred as Lee Abbott, an engineer, husband of Evelyn, and the father of their children, Krasinski described his character as a survivalist who focuses on getting his family through each day. Millicent Simmons also plays Reagan Abbott, Lee and Evelyn's deaf daughter, and Marcus and Beau's older sister. Krasinski said he sought a deaf actress for many reasons, going on record to say, "I didn't want a non-deaf actress pretending to be deaf, most importantly though, because a deaf actress would help my knowledge and my understanding of the situations tenfold. I wanted someone who lives it and who could teach me about it on set." Noah Jupe also plays Marcus Abbott, the eldest son of Lee and Evelyn, and Reagan's and Beau's brother. Krasinski noticed Jupe in the 2016 miniseries The Night Manager and later saw an early screening of the 2017 film Suburbicon to evaluate Jupe's performance. Cade Woodward also plays Beau Abbott, the youngest son of Lee and Evelyn, who was killed in the prologue by an extraterrestrial creature after activating the sound of a toy space shuttle. And finally, Ezekiel and Evangelina Cavoli play newborn baby Abbott, who comes to be born within the film's central climax. Leon Rossum also plays the man in the woods who is seen to give a sacrificial cry in order for a monster to come by and kill him after seeing the loss of his own wife. And finally, Krasinski himself also provided the motion capture for the extraterrestrial creatures on set, which I think is pretty cool, considering the fact that this guy has also already written, directed, and starred in this movie. He also plays the movie's monsters. And I also find it kind of funny to just think about how he was probably in a pajama-looking suit trying to act like this scary monster in front of all of these other actors that were trying to pretend that he was a scary monster. I don't know. I find that to be a hilarious image to think about every now and then. But anyways, A Quiet Place was a production of Platinum Dunes. And Platinum Dunes is mostly known for other horror movies, specifically remakes of A Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. But Platinum Dunes produced the film on a budget of $17 million. And John Krasinski wrote the screenplay with Scott Beck and Brian Woods, two of whom actually grew up together in Iowa and had watched numerous silent films in college and even began working on the story that led to the film back then. They used their experience growing up close to farmland as the setting, including a grain silo as a place considered dangerous in their upbringing. Beck and Woods began writing A Quiet Place in January 2016, and Krasinski read their initial script the following July. The concept appealed to him of parents protecting their children, especially as his second child with actress Emily Blunt had just been born, and Blunt encouraged him to direct the film. By March 2017, Paramount had bought Beck and Woods' script, and they even hired Krasinski to rewrite the script and direct the film, which was his third directorial credit and his first for a major studio. Blunt did not want to be cast in the film, but she read the script on a plane flight and immediately told her husband, "I need to do it." And he agreed, and they were both cast in the starring roles following some time later. For filming, production took place from May to November 2017 in Dutchess and Ulster counties in upstate New York. Filmmakers spent their budget locally including a purchase of 20 tons of corn, which they hired local farmers to grow. Some filming took place on a soundstage in the town of Pawling in Dutchess County, as well as on location in the county city of Beacon. Filming also took place on the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail in New Paltz of Ulster County, using the Springtown Truss Bridge. Outside Dutchess and Ulster counties, filming took place on Main Street in Little Falls in Herkimer County, New York. Regarding the sound and music, during filming, the crew avoided making noise so that diegetic synchronized sounds, example would be the sound of rolling dice on a game board, could be recorded. The sounds were amplified in post-production. A traditional musical score was also added, which Krasinski justified in wanting audiences to remain familiar with watching a mainstream film and not feel like part of a silence experiment. Supervising sound editors Eric Adahal and Ethan Van Duren worked on A Quiet Place. For scenes from the perspective of the deaf daughter, sound was removed to put greater focus on the visual. They also advised on organizing shots to reflect the creature's perspective, like showing them noticing a sound, then showing what was causing the sound. Composer Marco Beltrami provided the sound editor's music to work with in a way that would not interfere with the sound design throughout the film. In the film, creatures are blind and communicate through clicking sounds. So Adahal and Van Duren said they were inspired by animal echolocation, such as that employed by bats. The sound of feedback, normally avoided by sound editors, was also woven into the story at a loudness level that would not bother audiences too much. The characters communicate in American Sign Language to avoid making sound, so the filmmakers hired deaf mentor Douglas Ridloff to teach ASL to the actors and to be available to make corrections. They also hired an ASL interpreter for deaf actress Simmons, so that spoken and sign language could be interpreted back and forth on set. Simmons grew up with ASL, and she helped teach her fellow actors to sign. She said, "In the movie, we've been signing together for years and years, so it should look fluent." She observed that each character's use of sign language reflected his or her motivations, and the father had short and brief signs which showed his survival mentality, while the mother had more expressive signs as part of wanting her children to experience more than just survival. Krasinski also said that Simmons' character used signing that's very defiant in nature, and it's very teenage defiant, as he would like to describe. Simmons said that she suggested for the daughter to rebel rather than cower during a sign language fight with her father. She also said that the script originally had the father sign, "I love you," to his daughter at the end of the film, but she suggested for him to follow with, "I've always loved you," to make up for their arguing earlier within the film. Producers Andrew Form and Bradley Fuller said that they initially planned not to provide on-screen subtitles for sign language dialogue while providing only context clues, but they realized that subtitles were necessary for the scene in which the deaf daughter and her hearing father argue about the modified hearing aid. They then subsequently added subtitles for all sign language dialogue in the rest of the film. Regarding the creature design, production designer Jeffrey Beecroft headed the creature design, with Industrial Light and Magic of Star Wars fame creating the creatures, led by visual effects supervisor Scott Farrar. The director wanted the creatures to look like they had evolved to no longer need eyes, and to be somewhat humanoid in nature. Farrar said the initial creature design showed them with rhinoceros-like horns out of their faces, which was then later redesigned. Vanity Fair reported the team immediately set about pulling references, prehistoric fish, black snakes, and bats, particularly their movement patterns, and inspiration was also drawn from bog people, cadavers that had been mummified, turning the skin black and giving it a sagging, leathery look. And again, like I've mentioned before, John Krasinski, who also played Jim from The Office, provided the motion capture for the creatures. So that was just an overall recap of the production background and history of A Quiet Place. Tune into our next segment where I will be discussing the overall character arc of not just Lee Abbett, John Krasinski's character, but every single character and how the story involves sound on a much thematic level than most might think. You have been listening to Have I Got a Story for You with your host DJ Denouement on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Hello everyone, we are back on Have I Got a Story for You with your host DJ Denouement on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Today, we have been taking a look back on the post-apocalyptic American horror film, A Quiet Place. And so far, we have taken a look back on the overall plot summary of the film, as well as the background and history of its production. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the overall story and its arc regarding the characters of the Abbott family. Now, first off, we gotta ask, who are each of these family members, and what do they serve within the overall story? Who is Evelyn Abbott? Well, Evelyn is the wife of Lee and mother to their four children. Lee is an engineer and husband to Evelyn, and the father of Reagan, Marcus, Beau, and newborn baby Abbott. Reagan Abbott is Lee and Evelyn's deaf daughter, and Marcus's and Beau's older sister, while Marcus is the eldest son of Lee and Evelyn, and Reagan's and Beau's brother. Beau Abbott is the youngest son of Lee and Evelyn, who was actually killed in the prologue by an extraterrestrial creature after activating the sound of a toy space shuttle. Director John Krasinski has gone on record to identify the primary theme of the film as a dramatization of fears associated with modern parenthood. In a conference interview about the film, he stated that he was already in a state of terror about whether or not he was a good enough father, and later added that the meaning of parenthood had been elevated for him by imagining being a father in a nightmare world, struggling to simply keep his children alive. The theme of parenthood is prevalent through the characters of Lee and Evelyn Abbott, and most surprisingly, within the main draw of the film itself, within the sound. A Quiet Place is a film that tells the story of the Abbott family, who find themselves living among extraterrestrial monsters that hunt and kill everything they hear. To stay alive, the Abbotts must keep quiet, which honestly makes for a unique and unforgettable film experience. The film's story is somehow able to speak volumes through characters and the sense of sound, or the senseless of its sound. With just under 100 spoken lines and so little sound, we also, like the Abbott family, become aware of everything we hear, from the tiniest pin drop to the tightest of breaths. Both the audience and the characters feel the full fear of what others could hear. That is why, on two distinct levels, it is important to listen. Thematically, there is another purpose for listening within A Quiet Place. Seen at the very beginning of this film, Lee tells his youngest son to listen without ever making a sound, setting up a clear contrast between this word and its literal sense. That is where parenthood intertwines with the theme of listening. Listening in this story's world is not just about opening the ear to sound, but also about opening the heart to a message and how to heed said message. Despite Lee's messages, his children still fail to do that, to heed them. Immediately at the end of the film's opening prologue, Lee's and Evelyn's youngest son, Beau, at this time is quickly killed by one of the monsters when he fails to listen, when he fails to not keep the batteries or sound-generating toy. Lee's oldest daughter, Reagan, plays a role within her brother's death, giving him the toy that her father warned him against. She is literally and figuratively deaf, a threat to herself and her family's survival, which her father works to overcome for the rest of the film's story. There are times within A Quiet Place where I cannot help but feel like I am looking at an oil painting of some random clearing or meadow. In between the many anxieties and frights of the film itself, there are long stretches of peace and quiet in which the story meditates on this otherwise idyllic family life. The ideal nature of this life points to its representative quality. The Abbots fundamentally represent more than just one family. In fact, they represent all families and what it means to be one. It is thus the things which threaten the place and survival of family, diversion and death, which is personified within the monsters themselves. A symbolic role that is solidified within the climax of the film when for the first time news articles are shown that label these monsters as the Angels of Death. These Angels of Death represent and define the boundaries of life, killing anything that transgresses them. Lee's role as a father is to teach his kids to live by remaining within these said boundaries. His name, Lee, actually means the sheltered or protected side. He literally leads his family in a single file line along a single line of sand that he has drawn as a quiet pathway to walk. Most significantly, it is why he makes Reagan, his daughter, a new hearing aid. The hearing aid itself symbolizes Lee's correction and vicarious protecting, his instructions which must be heeded in order to work. But Reagan thinks it will not work. It is only after three unaware instances of its use as the main weakness for the monsters that she is finally aware of its power. Until that point, all she knew was that it hurt. In trying to open his daughter's ears, Lee only ends up reminding her of the role she played in Beau's death. She sees her father's efforts as him not liking who she is. The third time she experiences the pain, she shuts it off completely. The true problem posed by the film becomes the main question of how do parents open their children's ears to what pains them to hear? The answer is found in Lee's sacrificial declaration of love for his children. Lee cries out to draw the monsters away, but also to open his daughter's ears, echoing the old man's suicidal cry for the loss of his wife, and Evelyn's life-giving cry of birth, both seen earlier within the story. Similar to Evelyn's, in a way, a father's sacrifice for his kids can also be considered a similar, more figurative, process of labor and delivery. It is Reagan's recognition and embracing of her father's ear which symbolizes her rebirth. By the film's final fright, she not only listens but literally blasts the speakers on what she's heard into something that others can hear, defeating the monsters that have terrorized her family. That, and her mother's impeccable aim with her father's old-fashioned shotgun. A Quiet Place states that kids are meant to realize the reason for their parents' instructions, while parents are reminded that to open their children's ears requires a love without condition. Anyways, this has been Have I Got a Story for You with your host, DJ Daniel Mahan on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Did you know that wearing a mask when outdoors or in public areas while social distancing helps shorten the duration of any pandemic? Maintaining a distance of about 6 feet from any other person helps as well. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hello everyone, we are back on Have I Got a Story for You with your host DJ Daniel Mahan on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM. The official radio station at Dominican University of California. Today, we've been taking a look back on 2018's A Quiet Place, an American post-apocalyptic science fiction horror film directed by and starring, as well as written by, John Krasinski. So far, we have talked about the overall plot summary of, the production background and history of, as well as the character arc of the entirety of the film. Now I'd like to talk about the aspects that aspiring storytellers and writers should learn from A Quiet Place. Within the realms of both film and television production, there are gimmick projects. Gimmick projects are those films or television series that primarily focus upon a certain trick or device intended to attract some level of attention, publicity, or business. In other words, a gimmick film or TV show might market a certain aspect of itself in a bunch of previews or trailers in order to get more people to try and watch it. The measured success of productions like these usually vary. They vary in terms of budget and box office or audience and critical results. Yet, A Quiet Place is a gimmick film that has proven to be a major critical and commercial success. All aspects of its production and final cut, as well as the cast and crew, have received some form of recognition. And even still, so has its gimmick. A Quiet Place's main draw of not making a single sound in order to survive serves as the gimmick for viewers to flock to screens showing this film. And it is this same gimmick that has also garnered much attention and admiration to the point that it seems to have continued a new trend of suspense and sound. Other than A Quiet Place, there have been two other significant horror films in the last decade that have stuck with the same aspect of sound being directly linked with survival. Most recently, it was the 2019 Netflix film, The Silence, where in it there lies a similar premise to A Quiet Place. The Silence follows a family as they try to survive a world under siege by flying, prehistoric creatures that hunt by sound along with a cult that's into repopulating the earth, albeit forcefully. The other Sony Pictures 2016 film, Don't Breathe, follows a more fresh premise and formula, where three friends are trapped inside a blind man's house after breaking into it and discovering that the man's acute sense of sound and skills are in dealing death. Don't Breathe was a massive hit with audiences and critics alike for its story's many twists and turns, especially upon the home invasion genre. The Silence was less successful, however, with it only garnering negative reviews as a derivative and placid film. It even gained harsh comparisons to A Quiet Place, which was released just 2 years earlier. But why? Well, it was honestly because of the engagement of its gimmick. Don't Breathe was mostly successful because of the realistic and gritty premise surrounding its suspense with and the blind man's sense of sound. The Silence failed because it only tells of stakes instead of actively showing the suspense of them and its story as they unfold with one of its main, also deaf, characters. A Quiet Place's use of the gimmick, sound equaling survival, is the most successful within the genre of post-apocalyptic horror films because of the engagement with its characters and audiences, as well as their ties with sound. Of The Silence, there is a deaf character, but she is shown to speak both verbally and through sign language, resulting in times where the audience could forget that she is supposed to be deaf, despite the actual actress, not being deaf herself. Millicent Simmons, who plays Reagan in A Quiet Place, is actually deaf in real life, and the film's production crew clearly worked extensively to help ground the gimmick of sound through her character's perspective of moments within the story and what exactly she experiences throughout the time of the story. Putting the audience of any story in anyone's shoes, especially the characters, through even a single sense of awareness can ground any film in total engagement. That is why A Quiet Place succeeds wherein it could have failed, just like The Silence. It succeeds because of its primary goal of seating the audience right along with the story and its characters, and the perspective of the gimmick of sound. A Quiet Place is also nowhere near a typical horror film. Aside from Oscar-nominated sound editing, as well as groundbreaking special effects, there is a lot more noise to the film than one might expect. I feel like director John Krasinski said it best himself earlier when he made this film, to show that there are fears associated with modern parenthood. He also goes on to say that this is more of a personal project for him, and I myself might sound like the same broken record as any other critic, reviewer, or average moviegoer, but this film itself has a heart. Most other films within the horror genre have been stigmatized over the years with somewhat silly and stereotypical tropes of excessive gore or darkness, and even anticlimactic resolutions. Continuously restless film franchises like the Friday the 13th series and its many spawns of other serial slasher characters are the main arbitrators of these stigmas. Yet somehow, with each new villain, with each new entry within their respective franchises, there is still a specific audience that watches these films. And it is because of their style. A Quiet Place attempts to do something that separates itself from other horror films, from those that choose style over substance. It consciously chooses to embrace both style and substance. The style of the film surrounds the idea of sound equaling survival. If a character makes a single sound, then it could mean death for themselves and possibly all of those around them. This premise on its own serves as the film's main draw and sense of surprise for audiences to follow. But beneath it all, beneath the film's frighteningly fascinating style, there's something more to it. There is a film with a heart, with a core message to share. And its message, like most other stories, has the unique possibility of blossoming multiple interpretations from the flower that is its main theme of parenthood. Krasinski has already introduced his own interpretations of what he tried to share with A Quiet Place's main story. And like him, I have had my own as well that I have described. But what's common about them is the theme of parenthood that the story is built around. Actress and real-life wife of Krasinski, Emily Blunt, originally did not want to be cast, but read the script and immediately told her husband that she wanted to do it. And she probably agreed to it not just because of the style or genius premise, but the overall substance that is there, that is the film's heart. The substance that expertly is balanced equally with its style. This balance between both style and substance is something that any creator should strive for within any project, no matter what genre or direction it is trying to follow. A Quiet Place is a very special and unique horror film, in my opinion, and it is a film that I feel like, even though you might not like horror, is a film that should be experienced for just even the fact that it contains a really great and thoughtful story and message about family and parenthood. I mean, a great example is when this film first came out, I didn't see this horror film with my friends like I usually do with horror films. I instead saw it with my family, with my own mother, who is really scared of horror films and really doesn't like them. And she honestly thought that this was a great film too. She enjoyed being scared while watching it and really thought that the story was just something else. And I'd like to think so too. And I cannot wait for A Quiet Place Part 2, which is set to come out next year in the year of 2021. You have been listening to Have I Got a Story for You with your host, DJ Dan Uman, on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Thank you for listening.